Got to have that hunger. There's only one person that can keep that hunger within you hungry, and that is who? You. It's up to you to take that challenge to be hungry for the Lord. No programs, no, you know, Bible reading programs, and we're going to go through the Bible in a year, and we're going to do this, and we're going to build you strong, and all this. It is all for naught if you personally don't take that upon yourself to say, I have got to maintain my diet, my appetite for God. The church, has an hour and a half to feed it to you. And that's not near long enough to sustain you for the whole week, is it? It's going to take eating outside the church. It's going to take reading your word at home or at work on break or whenever you find time. Just, if nothing else, you pop open the little thing and read a New Testament or something like that, or you read a Psalms or a Proverb or something that the Lord directs you to. Even if it's a verse, read it, nibble on it, chew on it, digest it. Let it get into your system. So many times in my early ons with him, and I was looking for it, and I think it's actually, I don't know where it's at. I want to say it might be out in the garage. It's kind of interesting, but where I think I last saw it, because of cleaning out vehicles and different things, you always, yeah, anytime you clean out a car, you put stuff in a tote or something and just put it in the garage, put it here. I think it was just this past few months back, I don't know, that I was going through some stuff in the garage, and I came across the little New Testament that I had gotten for some time way back when I was working at my secular job, and I always had it with me and had it in my pocket or had it in my jacket or somewhere, and wherever I was at, whenever it came time to take a break or go to lunch or whatever, you would eat nourishment of the food, of the natural stuff, amen, but then you'd have time. It was the craziest thing because the job that I had, or you know, when I even began working with them, how many here has an hour-long lunch hour? It's an hour lunch hour. That is hard. Generally, you're done eating in about 12 minutes, you know? And now it's like, well, what do I do now? You know, I got 45 minutes, you know? Don't clock in early, you know, back in those days. And so it's like, I began and had that little pamphlet and that little New Testament, and I would just begin to read things in it. And it was just on the New Testament side. It wasn't Old Testament. It was an American Standard, I heard something, NASB, I think. I can't remember exactly what it was now. American Standard, maybe. I can't remember, but I know it's a red cover. Anyway, it doesn't matter to the point. But I began to find myself throughout the time of underlining things. Notating things. I have more underlinement in that and all than I do really in this. Because that was the Bible, the scriptures, that's where I was at that time, and just hungry for God to where I was reading and reading and reading. And I'd read those things and all of a sudden I'd read them again and then it really hit and I go, oh, underline, 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 underline. Pretty soon it's like, well, it's all underlined. It's all good, you know? But there are certain areas, certain verses, certain things that he takes you through, and you begin to underline those things, and you really just go back. And now, even today, and I flipped through it even back then, you know, I flipped through it recently, and some of the things that, you know, we were together with God, it's just interesting. But it's that hunger, it's that point and place where you're at with him, that no matter where you're at your job, at your lunch hour, on your break, you want him. You want to hear from him. You want to listen to him by the Spirit, you know, but I love listening to him by his word, because sometimes when it's in his word form, it really strikes home, because there's something about seeing it in print, you know, like, oh boy, bad boy Tim, I should be better in this than I am, I better straighten up. So, as we got into this last week in preparation for this, and that one song we just lastly had played, it really spoke to me a couple of weeks back and all about stirring up that hunger, stir up that hunger, how he can turn, you know, darkness into light, and how he can change the things of your life. And, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, Lord, yes, you have. But how did it happen? How did it happen? How does it happen in your life that he changes you in your life and where you're at? It's by that initial hunger that you had for him to do know more. I got to know more about you, God. How do I find out more about you? Read his word and go to Bible prayers and all these things. Just soak yourself in his presence. Amen. Go to church. Go to midweek. Go to Sunday night if we had Sunday night. I found myself going and going because I was hungry. And whatever they were going to share on a Wednesday night, I wanted to hear about it. What Pastor Borison would share at a Bible study on Wednesday nights. Sunday nights, what was that? What was Pastor going to say on Sunday nights? You know, I was there for the Sunday morning. That's the thrill. That's the thing for everybody that comes in the door. And it's just like, okay, be strong in God. Have a blessed week. You're good. You're awesome. Blah, blah, blah. Be blessed. Now go. Come back Sunday night. You dig into the Word. Okay, this is what this is meaning to your life. This is what this is meaning in God. This is what it meant back in those times. This is what he's trying to interject and share. Do you see this, how it affects your life today? Yes, but it happened so long ago. He's talking about the Israelites. He's talking about those people. I'm not that. But I read those things, and it's like affected my life now or back then in 96, 90, 92, 98. It's important to have that hunger for God. It's important to stay hungry for him. Remember, I just shared quickly, hunger is a strong need or an intense desire for food. The Hebrew word translated hunger can also, you'll find in the Bible, as a famine, to indicate a widespread, serious shortage of food. Those who partake of Jesus, the bread of life, says in John 6:35, will hunger no more. I found myself that after I began to feed myself on God's word, I wasn't hungry anymore. I was encouraged. I found myself being lifted up. I found myself with answers to understand things that were maybe taking place in my life that I didn't quite know why, but by reading his word and meditating and being in his presence, he was able to bring me through these things to where I began to go, you have that aha moment. Anybody had an aha moment in life of different things that you do? And it's wonderful to have an aha moment with God. Because then all of a sudden it hits. It's like, aha, now I know, Lord. What you've been trying to tell me through your word, what you've been trying to tell me through the Spirit as I just meditated with you and as I was asking you questions. And, oh, Lord, you know, does the religious people call that prayer when I just talk to you? Is that what they call prayer? I just call it conversations with my God. Conversations with Abba, Father, this Bible study or this Sunday school lesson that we're kind of going through this DVD is that, you know, we're just going to Daddy, Abba Father, Daddy, I need to know this. Daddy, help me with this. Daddy, I don't understand this. Daddy, this is a concern. Daddy, Abba Father. It's like all those times that I was probably talking to him, had somebody said, you know what, you're praying to God, I probably would have got scared. Because I might have thought I was at a level that I go, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to pray to God. Because like this study was taking us, we feel that prayer is only for the selected few. It's only for the theologian, the priest, the father, the pastor. You know, it's like, here, pastor, I'm going through a situation. Could you pray for me? Thank you. And then I could go on and do what I wanted because the pastor will pray for me, you know. So had somebody early on really said, you know, you're praying to God, I probably would have thought, uh-oh, I'm out of here. But I began to find out that I was just talking to God. What was on my heart, I lifted up to him. What I didn't understand, I lifted up to him. If he didn't tell me or share with me, I still trusted him and still believed that he would let me know when the time was right, whenever that time is right. I know someone shared in the morning back at Sunday school where they had prayed for a situation, and it was over a year and a half before the answer came about. And that sounds like God. Not that he's slow, but that he's a God that says, it's in my hands and I'll take care of it at my time. And when I take care of it at my time, it'll be the right time and it'll be what it needs to be. Now you can get in there and muddle it up. You can try to do it in a hurry. You can think what you can do. But chances are you'll be calling on me again to fix the mess that you got yourself in again and again if you would have just prayed it, laid it before me, turned it over to me, and I'm on the job. And go on with life. I think he would tell you just, okay, I've heard your son, I've heard your daughter, now you just enjoy life. You just go out there and you just praise me. You just go out there and you just worship me. You go out there and you just share my love with others. And others are going, how can you share the love of God when you're going through this situation? It's because I turned it over to my daddy in heaven. Just like I would have turned over a problem to my natural father, once I turned it over to him, I figured my dad would take care of it. Or my parents, they would take care of it. They knew about it. I could go on and play. I could go back out in the sandbox. It was all okay. Because I'd let my parents know. Well, it's the same with our God. When we let him know these things. But to know those things and to know that you can have that interaction with him, you've got a relationship with him. And to relationship with him, you've got to be hungry. It's only when you get to know someone, it's because of, you know, to get to know people out and about and where we're at in our community and all, I've got to have a hunger to go out and I've got to make an effort. An effort to go out, an effort to sit before them, an effort to talk to them, an effort to learn about them. It's the same thing with our God. We've got to make an effort to be hungry for him, to go before him, to learn more about him through scriptures, through his word, through prayer, through meditation, through whatever the through is through. But to know him. Thank you, Lord. It's a good thing you guys aren't sitting close because I think I'm spraying up here. Eyes are not that good. That's good. Everybody's going, oh, I just thought it was me. I don't know. But to have that hunger for God. And now we talked about some things, and I'm not going to reiterate that. You can, like I say, listen to it online. It's online for that. But we do know that in Psalms 34:8, where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord wants you to taste and see that he's good. You have to get there. You have to talk to him. You got to pray to him. You got to talk to him to find out that how good he is. But taste and see. And I want to get down to Deuteronomy, and it's where we left off last week, real quick. But in Deuteronomy 8, it's remembering the Lord your God. Now, you can go back through, and it's all the chosen people, and Moses is there, and God has talked and shared, and the blessings and obedience, and there's things that, you know, I'm doing these things for you. But as we look at chapter 8 and just read through this, it's talking about remembering the Lord your God. And God begins off there in Deuteronomy 8, saying, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Before you can go in and possess and gain what God has said you can have, what do you have to do? Observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord has swore to your fathers. But you've got to be careful to do what? Observe what the Father has told you to do. And then it says in 2, Deuteronomy 8, 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He's checking us out. He's testing us to see, well, how strong am I with you? How strong are you with me, you know? And it's those areas that we find, it's only, you only go through, you know, a trial gives us a test gives us a testimony. So God is full of tests of things that we go through in life and all, and he doesn't put those things on that we can fail. It, you know, says later in his word that he doesn't give you nothing that you cannot work through or handle, but it's going to take you and who? Him. But these 40 years you've been in the wilderness because I've been humbling you. You know, some of us have to be humbled. You have to be taken off of your high horse. You've got to be knocked down. And there's those times that even in our prayer times and in our times with God, it's got to say, okay, Lord, I've tried to do it myself and I can't do it. Only you, God, have the infinite wisdom. Only you have the unyielding power in the presence to take care of this, and I can't. Humbles yourself. He's humbling us to know that we're going to trust him and be with him and keep his commandments. So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger and to feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every what? That comes from God. Word that comes from God. Your spirit, your physical food will sustain you physically, but it will not sustain you eternally. It will not sustain you spiritually to be close to God and to battle the things that you're going to battle here in this particular place that we're at. So he is saying this, that he's going to feed them. He's going to allow you to be hungry. Stir up the hunger within us, Lord. God wants you hungry for him, because it's only when we know that we're hungry for something that we will strive for something. We will work towards that. We will set a goal. We will desire. We'll do whatever it is because I'm hungry for it. I want it. And so I'm going to go out after it. So he humbled you and allowed you to be hungry and fed you with manna, it says. And that not by bread alone that man's going to live, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We find that Jesus quotes this text in Matthew 4:4 when he faced Satan's snares in the wilderness. The message here is that there's no survival of the soul without God's word. There's no survival of the soul without God's word. And that's on a daily basis. And it goes on to say here, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. I guess, anybody here had feet swell today? Have you ever had your feet swell? You know, you start off in the morning and your shoes are nice and feel good, and then by the end of the day they hurt because your feet have swollen. You know, they tell you don't go try shoes on at the end of the day because your feet are swollen, or whatever that, you know, as far as finding the right fit of shoes. But here, look at this, even back then, your foot did not swell those 40 years. Wow. Put Dr. Scholl out of business. You should know in your heart that as man chastens his son, So the Lord your God chastens you. Chastens, not chases you. God is not going to chase you. God is going to stay where he's at. You're going to come to him. And he's going to chasten you. He's going to correct you, is what that is. God is going to correct you. So be ready for some corrections of God, okay? It's not, you know, a happy time. Well, it is, because, you know, when God corrects us, I've always been corrected by him in a very loving way. How about you? I've always been corrected by him in a very tender way, a very satisfying way, that I didn't feel like I got spanked or, you know, whatever. It's just by God's voice in my spirit just somehow turning me around saying, I think I just got scolded and I didn't know that, you know. Do it again, Lord. Felt good, you know. That's what God does with me. I don't know about you. But he chastens you. He corrects you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God, in verse 7, is bringing you into what? A good land. God is bringing you into a good land in your life. And we're not in the desert back there. We're not going into Israel. We're not going into Canaan. But we're in a life right now. And I can tell you this right now, that God wants to bring you into a better land of 2018 than where you're at in 2017. I don't know how long you spent in 2017. I don't know. 2016, 2015. I don't know the circumstances and the situations. Maybe 2017 was no different than the last 10 years of your life. I don't know. Maybe God has had you in that desert. Maybe God has had you out there humbling you, trying to show you where you need to be with him. And once we understand that, once we hunger for him and he makes us hungrier for him, and we say, okay, enough is enough on my own. I'm going to hunger. I'm going to thirst. I'm going to have you, Lord, for everything that I can today, tomorrow, and the day after that. All of a sudden, I believe we would see these things happen to where we would walk into that promised land. How many here believe you've got a promised land you need to get to? Maybe you're already trudging in it. Maybe you're trudging through. Maybe you're on the fringes of it. Maybe you're saying, life is good. I'm going to tell you that. If you can say today, my life is good and awesome right now, there's even more awesomeness in it out there for God. It's like, oh, I can't fathom that. I can't believe that. How much more good can it be? Only God knows, but all I know is God says, you know, I am not to be satisfied. No, I'm going to be keeping going with him and keep hungering after him in all these years. That sounds like a good place to say right on or amen. Amen, God. Hallelujah. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Verse 7, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of springs, flowing out of the valleys and the hills. It sounds like a lush place, a place of sustaining you. It sounds like a place that is perfect. Amen. Water, land, springs, fountains, a land with wheat and barley, vines, fig, all these pomegranates. Oh my goodness, the land of olive oil and honey, olive oil and honey. He's bringing you into a land. Now, we're looking at that as the natural, as he was leading the children of Israel through the desert, and it took that many 40 years because humbling them. In the beginning, you find out, too, he led them into that area in the beginning because he knew they were not ready to meet the giants and the problems that were on the other side of that to get into their promised land. He had to take them out into that wilderness. He had to work with them. He had to have them grow closer to him and to see his ability, to see how he performed miracle after miracle after miracle, to know when you go against your giant, when you go against that frustration at that end of your 40 years of whatever your wilderness is, that you can depend and rely upon who? God. Because you look back over all the times that he served and did and took care of, whether the water out of the rock, whether he made a clear path through the Jordan, whether he caused the walls to tumble. You know, it's like only God can do all those things. So he had to build them up to know that they were not ready to go meet their giants at that time. Because it's just like a few days' journey from where they were at. Could have just gone here. Psh, there you go. But they would not survive. And of course, they did a lot of training, a lot of testing, a lot of things throughout that time in the wilderness. Talks about the honey, talks about the oil, talks about stones or iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. It's a land full of blessings. It's a land that is full of abilities to sustain you in a very good way, to take care of everything that you need, everything that you're going to desire, everything that you're going to need down in the future. It's going to be there because I prepared it for you. This is the place that we want to go. Deuteronomy gives much attention to the practices that will help you live with a continual God consciousness, making more and more room for him in your life. That's what it's about, making more and more room for him in your life. Godly people are careful to maintain proper attitudes and disciplines in their relationships. Deuteronomy also explores how to maintain a proper regard for the authority of God's word has in life and in conduct. You got to know that God's word is to give your conduct and your things that you do need to reflect what? The things of what God would be happy about. Talks about here, guard against pride amid God's blessings. You know, sometimes we begin to see God moving in a great way, and all of a sudden we turn our eyes from God to us. One day in the mirror, we're shaving or brushing our teeth, and we begin to look at you, oh, wow, Tim, you know what? You're really doing a lot better than you think. You're doing okay. And pretty soon that pride builds up, and pretty soon it's like I lose that hunger for God. I lose going back to him for asking things, for directing me, for helping me. And I get that pride built up, and then we know that his word helps us understand that, because what goes before the fall? Pride. Know that prosperity often brings arrogance, causing us to forget that God is the source of all blessings. And that's the thing we've got to gauge ourselves. We've got to be careful that, you know, God, bless me in the way you want to, and I pray that I don't go so far that I think that it's me now and I can handle it all myself. I had shared this quickly when I was with my former job and going through interviews and reviews and things of that nature and moving up through the food chain, I guess, you know, that every time evaluations began to come around and I began to feel God's tug at my heart and feeling like I'm going to go serve him, where am I stopping? When am I dropping off of this and stepping over to him? As I began in the last year or two or three years or whatever time frame, beginning to sense that, my heart began to be sensitive to say, oh, Lord, I said, if I start making more money, that could be a hindrance to keep me where I'm at. And I don't want that to draw me. I don't want that to sit there and say, look what you're giving up to do this over here. I began to become attuned to that. Not that we didn't receive the givings that they did and the promotions or whatever they did in evaluations and things. But it was one of these things that I had to put that in the back of my mind to say, this is from man and it's only temporary. Don't let it be your destiny. Don't let it drive you to say now, and I would sometimes go say, oh Lord, don't let me, you know, my wife would probably kill me now. It's like, but don't let me get so much that I get so tied into this system of man that I don't want to come and serve you, you know, because of how that works. And you've got to what? You've got to guard what? Guard your heart. And it's okay to make things, and it's okay to make wealth and all that, and God blessed us, and we did well, and all those things. But it's something that he, I believe, worked within me to say, this is not your permanent source. We've got other plans. And as God develops and does those things, you know, we find out how blessing he is. But you guard your heart. You keep your heart, stir up the hunger in my heart. Keep your heart hungry for God, and guard your heart from anything on the outside that could come in and create, oh, the world can satisfy that. You don't need to be hungry for God no more. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Beware. You keep his judgments, you keep his statutes and commandments. And it talks about as you get through that, that lest you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. What's that sound like? Success. When all of your success has happened day in and day out and you're succeeding, and you're succeeding because I, God, am doing that for you. I, God, brought you into this land flowing with milk and honey. I, God, have streams of water flowing for nourishment. You got cattle for food. You got ore and you got copper and you got minerals and you got fields and you got all of this prosperity. It's been multiplied to you. And when your heart is lifted up, it says in verse 14, and when your heart is lifted up and you do what? You forget the Lord your God who brought you out of that land of Egypt. I am the God that brought you out of your past struggles. I am the God that brought you out of your past things that you've dealt with, that you wanted to leave, that you can no longer live in, that you were tired of. I am that God that brought you out of your past today into your presence of today, and I have got a much better future for you. But do not forget my judgments. Do not forget my statutes. Do not forget my commands. Dangerous when you forget those things. Verse 14, Deuteronomy 8:14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of that land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water to you out of the flint rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Testing you is to do you good. How many times do you correct your children? Do you say, I am correcting you because I want you to learn and I want you to be better than where you're at now? I'm correcting you. I'm having to spank you. It hurts me to spank you, but I'm going to spank you so that I can correct you so that you will learn. And by learning now at this young age, you will not be at this age over here making some terrible mistakes and living a life of whatever and having a problem. We look at our society today, just really would drop off there and get back on this, but you know, a lot of our situations in our society today is because of some of these well-known books back in the 60s and all that that said, oh, don't spank your kids. I was going to say, yeah, it says don't beat your kids. I'd say don't beat your kids, but spank your kids. Correct them when they need to be corrected. Too much talk does nothing after a while, because after a while, what did it say? Talk is cheap. Talk, talk, talk. Talk until you're blue in the face. Talk, talk, talk. I'm going to do it. You do it. You do it. You do it. I've got people in our family, not in locally here, but you know, I around different family members and things, and I just remember them. I don't know how many times they would scold their child and say, if you do that one more time, 45 minutes later, you do that one more time. I think that one more time turned into 50 times. One more time, one more time, one more time. The kid knows. God's not like that, praise God. Because God is quick. He's going to be quick to chastise you. He's going to be quick to say, enough is enough, Tim. I've worked with you. I've got grace and mercy. I'm a God of grace and mercy. But there's a point in time where the rubber meets the road, and you're going to have to be owning up to this, or you're going to have to change, or you're going to have to do whatever the case might be. But you've got to change. You've got to do this to walk further into the blessings that I've got. Because I cannot leave you where you're at and allow you to come into what I've got, because the two won't jive. So as you go through Deuteronomy 8, here again, remember, it's talking about, in my heading here, remembering the Lord your God. He talks about all the good things he brought him through. He talks about the things that what happens if you get prideful, and these things that happen, and you know, there's, let's see here, what did I say? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, verse 16, that he might humble you and that you might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth, and then you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you that power. It is he that gives you that wealth, that it may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Verse 19, we can kind of just kind of close into that area there, because this is that area. Then it shall be, in verse 19, that if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and you begin to follow other gods, and you're not only following them, now you're serving them, and now you're following them, you're serving them, you're worshiping them. I'm kind of adding a little bit to that. My New King James just says, if you by the means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. You know, I'm not going to think that, you know, this day and age that God's going to, you know, you stop following him and he's going to perish you. He's going to just send a fire out of heaven and just, you're just a black spot on the earth. But I believe once we get past those blessings of God and we get so tied into the gods, worship others, we begin to fixate, focus ourselves on the things of this life. You know, we make little idols, we make little gods of so many things in our life that's out there, because there's a lot of things that you can make your God out here today, right? We begin to get fixated, we begin to follow those, we begin to say, paying attention to those. We begin to actually, we're hungering after them. I'm hungering after the newest thing. I'm hungering after the newest this or that. I want this, I want that. Oh, I just hunger after, oh, I'll only be satisfied if I get this new thing. Then I'll be happy. That's chasing after other gods. That's chasing after other idols. That's worshiping something that's not of our God of heaven. Amen. And so we've got to be cautious of that. And it's pretty well in black and white what happens when we do those things, that God will lay us out there and say, you're on your own. And when you're on your own, it's not a good thing to be, is it? Anybody been out there, been with God, kind of struggled in areas, maybe kind of separated from him a little bit? You're out in the wilderness, you're out there, and all of a sudden things just kind of fall apart a little bit. And it's like, well, it wasn't like this, you know, 6 months ago. What happened? It wasn't like this 2 years ago. It just seems like the last 2 or 3 years, it's just been terrible. Probably if you would search yourself and get back with Daddy and say, where did I lose you, God? Where did I lose you, Dad? Where did my train jump the tracks? He'll tell you. If you get in that relationship with him and you just come right to him and say, Lord, I think I've messed up. I think something has interfered with my relationship with you. Forgive me. Help me. Can you get me back on that path? And God is waiting for you to do that. Amen. He's waiting for all of those wayward children to come back to him, you know? I know there's those out there that have not been reconciled back to him, but there's those now that are like, you know, they had a relationship and now they're gone, and he's waiting for you to come back. He says, come on back. But be hungry for him. Stay hungry for him. And when you notice things happening, return to him quickly and ask for forgiveness, ask for direction, ask for whatever it is, and he is a loving, faithful God. He is a loving, faithful Abba Father to help you. Amen? But stay hungry. Stir up that hunger in me, Lord. Stir up that hunger in me. Because there's a lot of things in this world that's stirring up that will kind of take your focus off of God. And so you need to hunger after him. You just need to 24/7, I guess, just be focused on him as best as you can. Hallelujah. As we pray and close out,